You are listening to a Nerd Room podcast, a member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to check out more from the Star Wars Commonwealth on the web at starwarscommonwealth.com and take your first steps into a larger world. Everyone, and welcome to the Nerd Room, where we talk all things comics and movies. This is episode number 73. We're discussing Star Wars, Marvel, and DC news for the month of May. I'm one of your hosts, Tim.
I'm Troy.
We haven't talked news in quite some time, man. We've been doing movie reviews. We've been away from the table for a while. I'm excited to get back into all the news that we've missed over the majority of the month of May. And for those that are tuning in for the first time, this is a comic book, this is a movie podcast, and we talk about news, we do film reviews, and sometimes we don't have the opportunity to talk about news for a couple weeks, and we usually end up doing a full news catch-up episode, and that's what this is. And this podcast, we focus in on a lot of Marvel, DC, and very much so Star Wars news.
Big time, yes.
And we're going to be running down all of the recent news that we've missed over the last month, talking about Han Solo movie, what's coming down the pipe for collecting, some big Marvel TV show news, as well as some sadder news from the DC universe. But before we actually got going here, I thought, let's talk a bit about collecting. We haven't talked about collecting in quite some time, and I just wanted to get a feel for what you're finding on the pegs recently.
Yeah, man. You know, the last thing I really dove into was the Calgary Expo, and I picked up a sweet Old Man Logan Marvel Legends, which is just awesome there. And I think last week I picked up a Miss Marvel Marvel Legend, Kamala Khan, which is great because I've been looking everywhere for her. So I just got one more wave to collect, or one more figure to collect, Spider-Man 2099, before I can get that sweet Sandman Build-A-Figure. And I've just been stocking up a lot, actually, on the Fig Art stands. They're awesome stands for Marvel Legends and the Black Series.
Yeah.
They have the peg holes that can actually plug right in the back of the Marvel Legends, so you can do so many cool poses and whatnot. So that's really it, man. And then I went back and I stocked up on some comics. Shout out to Alpha Comics for holding it down. I picked up, like, geez, like 30 comics. It was deep. So yeah, I've just been doing that, but I haven't really found many figures. No,
I find that the shelves have been pretty dry lately. Yeah. Like, especially when it comes to Star Wars, I feel like we're in the drought before Force Friday.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of clearancing. They're trying to get the shelves freed up for The Last Jedi and for these last couple of Black Series waves that need to drop before the Last Jedi figures start dropping. I've even been looking for the 3 3/4 inch. I took about 3 weeks off from doing, you know, intense toy hunts. And this weekend, I ran around to all the Walmarts and Toys R Us in the city trying to find the third wave of the Rogue One 3 3/4 inch. This was a Thrawn wave. I did find Thrawn about a month or so ago, but I didn't grab any of the ones because I thought, you know, these are going to hang out in shelves for a while. They're stacked deep and I can't find anything. Nothing. The Scarif Trooper gone, the Death Trooper gone. There's this fourth wave out there that has Admiral Raddus and Galen Erso, and I can't find any of them, and I'm worried that they're not going to get shipped again because they're clearancing everything. The 3 3/4 inch are down to $7 a piece, trying to get rid of the leftover Force Awakens ones.
Okay, shoot.
And so I'm really worried that I have to go online and pay scalper fees for these.
Yeah, see, I don't know because I'm not familiar with the 3 3/4. How does it work with them stocking up things as opposed to the 6 inch? I mean, with the 6 inch Black Series is weird because we got the Ahsoka wave for like 2 seconds and then it went a hiatus for like 6 months maybe?
Yeah.
And it came back. Does that ever happen with a 3 3/4?
3 3/4 are much better distributed across stores. Like, you see a lot of them in Walmarts, in Toys R Us, and they're usually quite well stocked. Like, you get kind of one of everyone. There's usually one that's harder to find that's kind of short shipped in the boxes.
Yeah.
But all in all, I've never really had issues finding the 3 3/4 inch. They're usually kind of floating around for a couple months. Where the 6 inch, you're right, sometimes it's hit or miss.
Yeah.
Like, I find lately we've been getting weird random waves of the Obi-Wan and Leia wave.
Right.
Has been coming back onto shelves. I'm seeing the Kylo Ren, the Masses Kylo Ren.
Oh, is that hit back? Okay.
Yeah, here and there. And the 6 inch vintage card back, they are ghost town. Even the Luke, Leia, and Obi-Wan are disappearing.
Yeah.
Like, they're off of the shelves. And we're waiting for the second wave to drop. We've got indications it's going to come out in June here in Canada.
That's the Qui-Gon one?
No, that's the second wave of the vintage card back.
Oh, the vintage, okay.
Yeah, it's got the Tusken Raider, the Jawa, the Death Squad Commander, C-3PO, Stormtrooper, and Chewbacca.
Yeah.
So this finishes out the first 12 from the original vintage series.
Nice.
And it's looking like it's supposed to hit in June, early June here, so in a couple of weeks. But people are finding them in the States already. So I'm already starting to get antsy, and I've kind of already laid out my plan here, because when you look at the case ratios from the first wave, the R2 was short shipped, one per case.
Yeah.
And that was the one that everyone has been scraping to find.
Right.
No one can find this thing. People are paying god-awful amount of money, and it's just because of the way it was shipped.
Yeah.
And I went and looked at the case ratios for the second wave, and they're much more favorable for collectors. Because that's what this line is really aimed at, is yeah. carded collectors. So we're getting three new figures, brand new Black Series figures, as opposed to what we got in the previous wave, which was almost all repacks.
Right.
Except for the Vader.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a brand new Vader.
Yeah.
But we're getting two Jawas per case, two Death Squad Commanders, so they should be pretty flush on the shelf. But the big problem is here, we're getting the Tusken Raiders, one per case.
Oh, that's brutal. So everybody wants that one.
Yeah, and this is going to be a really hard one to find, I think. This is going to be the R2 of this wave.
Yeah, I would say so. Shoot, that's a bummer.
So if you're able to find that one, if you kind of, sometimes what I like to do is I go in and buy two or three, so I'm not taking a $180 hit on my first trip to the store. So I try to do one or two. So I try to plan out which one's going to get. I'm definitely getting the Tusken Raider. I think the Stormtrooper here has the potential to be the wild card of this wave because it's shipped one per case.
Yeah.
It's a pretty popular figure. People like to troop build. Yes. There's also a figure that came really early on in the Black Series. It's number 9 of the orange card back.
Okay.
And people might be going and picking this up for a loose collection as well. So I think this one's always going to be a tough one to find.
Yeah, I wish they doubled up on those Stormtroopers because you're right. I would love to trooper build, you know, get that 501st going on with those guys. Over in America, too, I hear as well, or at least I've been noticing, the Spider-Man Homecoming wave. Looks like it's been hidden a little bit there. And they've also had the deluxe pack with Mary Jane and all new, all different Spider-Man.
Nice.
Which is, I think, is a Toys R Us exclusive. I'm just eyeing that up and down, but I don't know when it's going to drop here.
No, and that's another thing, because we are also expecting the second Guardians wave at some point, too.
Right, and the X-Men wave.
Yeah, so we're going to get dumped on here in a couple weeks with Marvel Legends.
Yeah.
And I'm looking to get that entire Guardians wave.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
With the Mantis Build-A-Figure, and I'm getting the entire Spider-Man Homecoming wave.
Oh, with the Vulture Build-A-Figure. Yeah, it
looks incredible, because I'm exclusively collecting MCU Legends.
Of course,
I'm trying to avoid and kind of cut back a little bit on the comic-based ones, unless they're some of my favorite figures.
Of course, yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be a big couple weeks. Even though the Star Wars shelves are drying up, I think the Legends and Marvel is going to really hit us hard here in the next couple weeks.
For sure, and we talked about that in previous episodes, how if the Star Wars dies out, then it's the Marvel Legends kicking up and vice versa, right? So
yeah, Hasbro maybe knows what they're doing.
Yeah, stay hungry for sure.
All right, well, let's jump into some of the news now that we've got some of that collecting talk out of the way. This week marks the 40th anniversary of the original release of Star Wars into theaters. This was May 25th, 1977. This is a massive milestone for this movie. It was originally released in only 32 theaters, I believe. Wow. And now look what it's become. A it's box office juggernaut, a merchandising machine. The Lucasfilm and Disney have the license to print money with this property. And we are heavy contributors to that.
Yeah, we talk about them on a regular basis.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what are you going to be doing to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Star Wars? This has been more or less a year-long celebration, but this is the actual day coming on Thursday.
Yeah, you know, I might start early. I have Thursday off. But then, you know, I fly out to the States shortly after. Vegas, here we go. So what I want to do is, do my top three Star Wars films, which is Empire Strikes Back, Revenge of the Sith, and Force Awakens. Those are my big three. So I'd love to cram those all in one day, if possible. If not, then I'll probably just end up doing Empire, Revenge of the Sith. So, just keeping it simple. You know, who knows? Maybe I'll turn on some John Williams and read a couple comics. You know, who knows? What do you got going on?
I'm probably going to watch Rogue One right into A New Hope.
Nice.
We're celebrating A New Hope here. Yeah. And I think that's what I want to do. I want to get that experience. I love watching them back to back.
Yeah.
I love Rogue One, A New Hope, instant classic.
Yes.
And I'm going to be doing the same thing. Like on the bus and that on the way in, I'm going to be reading some Star Wars comic books. I'm going to be trying to figure out what's next for the collecting world for me.
Cool.
So I'm going to be dedicating a lot of my thoughts to Star Wars on that day.
For sure.
And I'm really looking forward to that, to sitting down and enjoying some time with Star Wars on this kind of big celebratory day.
That's right. And you know, it was George Lucas' birthday, actually, recently.
I think a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So crazy.
What's going on in Star Wars? We had the May the 4th, and, you know, we had the Last Jedi trailer celebration a month or so ago.
That's right.
So a lot of Star Wars and a lot to come in the future.
That's right. And you know, speaking of Star Wars, actually, this just hit me. Jimmy Kimmel had Ian McGregor on. Did you see that interview?
No.
He asked him, are you going to play Obi-Wan? And he was kind of...
real coy about it?
Yeah. So the thing I was thinking, because you brought this attention to me, is that Jimmy Kimmel is ABC.
Yeah.
Right? So he gets all those exclusive trailers. So was this planned? Or are we going to maybe see something coming up here? Some kind of announcement eventually?
Oh, what if they announce it on Thursday? As a celebration for the 40th anniversary, they say, here you go, guys. Here's your Obi-Wan movie.
I'd lose my mind.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen.
I love that idea.
But, oh, man. Well, how great would that be?
Yeah, awesome.
Well, the Disney Store is getting in on the celebration as well, because they recently announced through Yahoo.com some exclusives that are going to be dropping in their stores and online on Thursday, when this episode is actually dropping. And like Disney usually does, they come with broad-spanning merchandise and collectibles and toys dropping exclusively at the Disney Store. And with these exclusives, we are getting an Elite series. This is the 6-inch diecast, real heavy, the nice looking armored and aliens. I'm gonna save my opinion for the human face sculpts for a minute here. But we're getting an Elite series Han and Luke deluxe pack, and this is in their Stormtrooper disguise. And we had a look at this before the show started. We looked at the facial likenesses, the paint applications, and what they've actually done with this figure set. So it's pretty cool. It's a nice celebration piece because it fits right into New Hope. This is an iconic scene with these two characters. But when I look at it, yeah, these are two new head sculpts, and they've just taken the Stormtrooper body from what we've gotten before.
Yep.
And one thing that we've always kind of banged on about the Elite series is the face sculpts, the paint applications leave a lot to be desired. I usually default human characters to the Black Series. They're done much better on that side. Are you going to be picking these up?
No. You know, at first, when I heard about the news, I was like, okay, this is sweet. And I'm thinking Farm Boy Luke and, you know, that scoundrel Han Solo gear. Totally in. And then I see the set and it's the Stormtrooper gear. The other sad thing about this is that these are, you know, proper photos here where they can't even make the faces look that good. So God knows what they're going to look like in person. I do like the fact that Luke's hair is like pretty blonde, because I've always been a fan of like the blonde Luke as opposed to the brown hair going on there. But I'm going to have to pass on these. I really want that farm boy Luke, especially, you know, to compare that side by side with the Black Series and even the SH Fig Arts Luke Skywalker. So, you know, for a collector, though, it is a pretty cool looking box. Especially I think this is the first dual pack we've had for an Elite series.
We had the triple pack on May the 4th with the droids.
Okay, yeah.
And we had like that big, huge first order pack.
The massive one.
Yeah, the huge one. It was like $150 or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I find this Stormtrooper disguise, I hate to say it because I love the series and all this, but I find it a bit lazy.
Yeah, it's kind of played out too.
Yeah, it's like we're going to take what we have from before. We're just going to pop the heads off and sync on two new heads.
Yeah.
And they didn't even go as far as kind of making them different size. So they don't have the shorter one, right?
Exactly.
The exact same into this mold. Short for Stormtrooper. And, you know, they did that with, I believe it was either Hot Toys or one of the SH Figure Arts.
Yeah, these are the Hot Toys one, yeah, right? Yeah,
where they had them different sizes.
Yeah.
So they went the distance there. And, you know, with this, I'm probably going to pick it up because it has that 40th anniversary tag.
For sure.
It is an exclusive. I do get drawn in by exclusivity on collectibles, but it's not something I'm really clamoring for. If I'm able to get it without going far out of my way,
yeah,
I'm probably going to pick it up. It's going to be about $60 or so dollars.
Does it come with accessories? Like, is there a lightsaber or is it just the blasters?
No, it's just the blasters.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a bit of a miss for me. I think they should have done a bit more because they're celebrating the 40th and not kind of reusing and repurposing figures that we've gotten before. Yes, we are getting two new head sculpts, which means we're probably going to get a Han and Luke down the road in the Elite series because they just have to produce the bodies now.
Right.
But at the same time, they should have done something really cool. Like imagine like I don't even know what you'd do. Just something a bit better, a bit bigger. Even like a two-pack with Vader and Obi-Wan dueling.
Oh.
Like how great would that be? Oh, yeah,
done. I think everybody would.
They've already
buy
got
that.
The Vader. Obi-Wan's not too hard to produce.
Yeah, for sure.
They've done a really nice set with them opposing each other, the lightsabers crossed in the box. Have more of a scene set up instead of them side by side. That's something which I would have liked a bit more, and I think that would have fit the whole theme a bit better.
Yeah, shoot, I like that a lot. Damn. Yeah, and I mean, I would have totally even been down even if they threw in Leia.
Yeah.
But yeah, just those two figures. I'm kind of done with the Stormtrooper gear. Yeah. And we've seen it over and over again. So yeah, it's passed for me.
Yeah. And they'll also be releasing a few limited edition lithographs, pins, ornaments, and a $250 statue. So the lithographs look pretty cool. They're kind of just some nice posters in that. The pin set, It's all right. They're all about 50, 60, 70 bucks, though. So there's a lot of money to be dropped there on this day. And I think going back to The Force Awakens and Force Friday from a few years ago, the lithograph sets, the pins and all that, they stuck around for quite a while, and they ended up being discounted. And this $250 statue, it's a really nice-looking statue. It's kind of got a bronze brush to it. Yeah. It's got the old school from the original poster where we got Leia wrapped around Luke's leg there, and he's got the tunic open up. You got the muscles and all that.
Before they're related.
Yeah, exactly. But with the $250 price tag, that pushes me way out of this. Like, that's not something I'm going to drop that amount of money on.
Yeah.
And being that it's at the Disney store, too, something this high of a price point is quite unusual.
Yeah.
And so I have a feeling this thing is going to go deep discount to get it to move off the shelves before new merchandise comes in. So I'm going to say hold your money back on a lot of these because I think they're going to stick around. Like, maybe not the Luke Skywalker and Han Solo deluxe set, but everything else probably will stick around. So that's kind of my generic advice. I've been wrong lots before with all this. So don't take my word as gospel, but it's exciting that they are doing something, and I'll give them all the credit in the world for that. And of course, you know, once I get there and I get kind of that fever as I go in on the hunt, of course I'm going to be buying this stuff. So I just want to throw out, like, that was kind of something that bothered me a bit about that, and I just want to get a little discussion going there. And let us know what you guys think of these deluxe series packs that they've been putting out and repacking figures, because May the 4th was a repack as well. This is more or less a repack.
Yep.
So I'd like to see them step into new territory with these collectibles.
Yeah, and let us know, too, what you think of these Elite series as a whole, because I kind of feel like, you know, we're coming up to our second...
We have Force Awakens, Rogue One,
and then Last Jedi coming up here. I'd like to see them maybe change it up or step it up, at least for these Elite series, if they really want to compete against the Black Series.
Yeah, well, they're getting blown over by the Black Series.
Oh, yeah,
like, definitely. They can't even compete anymore.
Yeah, because I remember starting off, I was kind of comparing these to the Marvel Selects line, and now they've definitely dropped quite a bit from there, and Marvel Selects has been climbing up, so.
Yeah. We'll see what they do next.
Yeah.
But Star Wars continued to roll out news this past week. We got two new comic book announcements. And Marvel Comics has been just hitting it out of the park when it comes to the Star Wars world. The Star Wars series is great. We're going through the Screaming Citadel, which is a crossover between Dr. Aphra and the Star Wars book right now, which is fantastic. Absolutely loving that. Got the Poe Dameron series, the ongoing. And they're putting out a couple more of these short 5-issue miniseries and a single one-shot. The first one they announced was Star Wars Jedi of the Republic Mace Windu. So this is going to be a 5-issue miniseries that's going to span the story of one of the most famous Jedi Masters from the prequel trilogy. And it's going to be picking up kind of at the onset of the Clone Wars. And it's going to be exploring a bit of him moving into this general position within the Grand Army of the Republic. Is this something that you're going to be picking up?
Yes, 100%. This is, I love the prequels big time. And I really do like Mace Windu, especially when they explored his character in, I believe, Star Wars Clone Wars. So this is like the Samurai Jack animation. And they've done some incredible stuff with that character, especially how he has like that talent with the Force where he can kind of, like, I believe, dissect his enemies, you know, take them apart bit by bit. So if they can go that route with this character, some high action, I can't wait to see this. I'm really excited for this comic book here.
Yeah.
Not as much as Vader, obviously, because Vader's my dude. No. But for a 5-part miniseries, I think this is perfect. And I think, it's between Attack of the Clones and Episode 3 there, right?
Yeah, it says in the synopsis, it's right at the beginning of the Clone Wars.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be picking up right after, essentially, Attack of the Clones.
Nice, right after he chopped off Jango there.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm on board with this as well. I'm doing the Darth Maul series right now. I love these 5-issue miniseries. They're not dragging out these stories into novels or ongoing series. You don't need that for these characters. But there are interesting characters exploring a bit more depth, especially Mace Windu.
Yeah.
He was in every episode, or 1-3, the prequels.
Yeah.
But we never really got much on him.
No.
I didn't feel like there wasn't a lot of background exploration of what's going on in his head. And he's kind of always as like kind of sitting in the temple and all that. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with this character. And, you know, just based off the title, the Star Wars Jedi of the Republic - Mace Windu.
Right.
They could be expanding on other characters, doing one-shots, Kit Fisto, these type of characters, right?
Which I'd love.
Yes, would be awesome.
Yeah.
To see a bit more expansion, a bit more develop. I know we got a lot of that in the Clone Wars, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But just doing stuff like this, I think is fun. Maybe dialing back down to 3 issues or a single one-shot. I think that's probably the way to go when you're exploring these Jedi. But just bring a bit more depth to characters that we're familiar with, I think is a good thing.
Yeah, I hope we see that. I like that idea a lot.
And the other book that they announced is called Rogue One, Cassian, and K2. Now, this will be a 40-page one-shot, and this is going to be exploring how K2SO and Cassian Andor first met. We see the relationship is quite well developed in Rogue One, and we're going to get to see how it all began with the two of them. And based off the brief synopsis that they did release with it on StarWars.com, it looks like K2's already going to be reprogrammed when Cassian meets him. And that's just an assumption I've made, from what I'm reading, so I've kind of made up a leap here. But that confused me a bit, because I thought that their whole bond was kind of born out of the fact that Cassian saved him or reprogrammed him and released him from Imperial imprisonment. Okay. That's kind of what I had always put together in my head.
Right, okay, cool.
So this looks like it's going to be a pretty cool book, and that it is a one-shot too, I think it kind of is the appropriate amount of storytelling that can be done without, again, dragging something out.
Yeah. You know, hearing that it's a one-shot piques my interest a little bit more, because I got to say I'm pretty much checked out of the Rogue One storytelling. We've been getting a lot of it. We still have the Jyn Erso book as well, and then there's the Baze and Shirt, which I got to pick up. But yeah, I'm done with this timeline, but I will check this out just because it is a one shot. I think that's fair. You know, we already are getting a whole movie on Chewie and Han and Lando, how they've met. I think Star Wars needs to sometimes just kind of preserve that mystery of certain things, like a Boba Fett and what have you. But again, like I said, it's a one shot, so yeah, I'll check it out. And with these, it's a comic, obviously, so I always got to check out the art. I want to see, you know, how they capture these characters and see it on these pages. So, yeah, excited for both these.
Yeah, me too. Like, and I agree with you fully that I think it's about time that Marvel and Lucasfilm take a bit more risk with the characters.
Yeah.
Like, what they've done with Dr. Aphra, they need more of that.
Right.
They need to explore different eras of Star Wars, too, because they've been so A New Hope, Rogue One-centric.
Yeah.
They've gone back a few times and visited prequel stuff with the Yoda story that they're telling in the Star Wars book, and now with Mace Windu and Obi-Wan and Anakin. So they've told a lot of those stories, but it's always been between the prequels and A New Hope, more or less, just after A New Hope.
Yeah.
They need to expand out into something a bit more. And maybe with The Last Jedi coming, we're getting the Phasma comic and a few other things. So hopefully they start to expand a bit more once they've revealed some of the secrets that they're holding back for The Last Jedi.
Yes.
So once we'll get something with Snoke or something more with Kylo Ren, just a bit more of expansion of characters. I know they're saving a lot of their powder for the movies.
Right.
I don't want to spoil anything, but that again is holding them back from releasing content.
Yes.
And I want more stuff like after The Shattered Empire.
Exactly. The Shattered Empire was a hit.
Yes.
That was huge. Was it a 5-part series there?
Yeah, 4 or 5 part.
And that was incredible. The art was fantastic. The story was cool. It is so unexplored, the territory that we're in. And we haven't gotten anything since, I guess, Bloodlines, really. And we've had nothing in between that Force Awakens and Jedi. So that's what I'm really hungry for.
Yeah.
Is something between that timeline.
Don't mistake any of this talk for criticism. We love the content that comes out of Star Wars.
Keep it coming.
Each and every day we're reading comic books, we're listening to audiobooks. We're trying to do everything we can to grab all of this storytelling, this narrative of Star Wars. We just want to be a bit more expansive. We want to see more characters. We want to explode this universe like they did in Lost Stars, in Bloodlines. That's what we're looking for. That's what we just want, a little bit more of that. I agree with you. We need to get a bit out of this rut that we're in because we focused so hard in on Rogue One and A New Hope over the last year and a half. We just want a little bit more. We want to explore those characters that are off in the distance, bounty hunters, whatever.
Yeah.
That's a bit more what we want, but we'll take whatever we can get because we're going to eat it up no matter what. And speaking about The Last Jedi, today Vanity Fair released 4 covers for The Last Jedi. And these are their summer issues. They look absolutely gorgeous. These are going to be going on sale on June 6th. These are going to be very difficult to get, especially the one with General Leia on it. So the 4 issues do depict kind of the individuals, or at least the people that are going to be having maybe more of their stories closely related in The Last Jedi. We get one with Poe Finn, this new character Rose, who's played by Kelly Marie Tran, and BB-8's kind of off there in the corner. We get one with Phasma with the helmet off, which is pretty cool. She's holding what looks to be a big spear or something.
Yeah.
And then we got Kylo Ren unmasked and General Hux. And we've got, of course, the Leia Organa, General Leia Organa, which is just her solo, which is very appropriate. This is going to be a very, very important book to get. Like, these all look like they can go just beautifully on your wall.
Yeah, Empire needs to take notes here. Is it Empire or Entertainment Weekly?
Yeah,
needs to take notes here because they have some horrible covers, but these guys know how to do it.
Definitely.
This looks fantastic, and solo, no pun intended, for Leia. That image is spot on.
It is.
Kylo Ren looks really cool. I'm really digging his look. I was worried about how they're gonna pull this off without him having that mask. That mask is awesome. He looks really good here.
His hair looks less fluffy.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I feel like this is kind of telling where we're going to see these characters interact the most, yes. most likely, right?
Yes. And then we got the Luke and Rey one as well.
I love her get up at the end of Force Awakens there.
So good. So good. Yeah, I agree. This is telling a bit of a story about who's going to have the interconnected stories. Like, eventually they're all going to come back together probably towards the end or even at the start.
Yeah.
Like, the hunt for Luke Skywalker is on. We get the First Order. Like, oh, man, I just can't wait for this movie. The trailer was incredible. Now seeing these images, you know, when I look at this one with Kylo, Hux, and Phasma, I'm really excited for Phasma.
Yeah.
Because we got her book dropping, her comic book series, and this picture, she needs to have a big role in this.
She does, yeah.
Like, I don't want her to be short-shipped again here. Like, that was almost heartbreaking to see how little her character was in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that we get a lot more of her here.
Yeah, I hope so. Especially that actress, Gwendolyn Christie from Game of Thrones. She's incredible, and I want more of her for sure in this movie. Another interesting thing, though, is Rey's staff. She's still rocking the staff, and I mean, what is the importance still of this thing? Because, I mean, you got a lightsaber, you got Anakin's lightsaber here, but she's still rocking that staff. I just wonder if there's some kind of mystery going on there, or is it just for the look? I don't know, but I really am a big fan of the Luke and Rey image there, too.
Yeah, these are definitely, like I said, something I'm going to try to get my hands on all four, and I'm going to frame them up and put them in the room here. Like, they look that good. Especially this Leia one, man. That is almost haunting, the way she's looking there.
Right?
Oh, man. So good. So good. And speaking about photos as well, Han Solo, we're getting some set photos that have been leaking over the last little bit. And I'm going to say spoiler alert here, because there are some spoiler images in that. There's been a lot of these random vehicles. And there was one of Aldrich Einreich as Han Solo here. Now, this is another image that we looked at a little bit again together before we started recording here. And you had that very similar reaction to me. Like, I don't know. I think, like you said before we recorded, I have to see him in motion.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I got to see that trailer. I got to hear his acting chops or his Harrison Ford, his Han Solo acting coming through there. I mean, it's a better image than the first one we saw in the Falcon there.
Yeah.
You know, because his hair, I think everybody was like, what's going on with his hair there? But even here, his hair is pretty poofy. He kind of took some of Kylo's hair poofiness there, like father, like son, I guess. But I just got to wait and see, you know. I don't know about this image. I'm not completely sold on it.
No, me neither. You know, like, again, it's hard. It's a set photo. Yeah. He's not maybe fully in costume. His hair maybe isn't done right. Yeah. I don't know why I keep coming back to the hair. Like, I feel like that he can act through and portray himself as Harrison Ford with a voice and kind of facial expressions and gestures and all that. But the hair, for me, I don't know what it is. I keep focusing. Like, when we saw that first shot of it when they're in the cockpit, I was like, what's going on there?
Right?
And then this image, same thing.
Yeah.
I focused in on the hair.
It just draws you in.
I don't know what it is. But this movie, you know, it comes out in about a year's time, year and a half or whatever. And I'm still super pumped for this. I think this has the potential to do so much exploration in that universe and tell different stories
without,
you know, the Empire being the main antagonist. We can go to the seedy corners of Star Wars and maybe do something that's a bit different.
Right.
And like Rogue One took it into this kind of war epic, Han Solo can do something completely different, but still fit itself into its own corner of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully we get some D23 stuff dropping.
Yes.
Later on.
It's in July, I guess.
Yeah.
So hopefully we get a trailer.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Or even just a teaser.
Just a little tease, a poster. A title?
I just want to see the three of them lined up, Han, Chewie, and Lando.
Oh, man.
Just standing together. I want to see Donald Glover's Lando so bad. Yeah,
with the cape. Give him the cape.
I've been watching him in Atlanta recently.
Donald I heard it's Glover. Great.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah, he's charismatic. I like that guy a lot.
He's got this weird, like, quirkiness to him. Like, even when he played Troy in Community and that, like, you don't see the same guy in either of those characters. Like, they're very different characters.
Yeah.
And that shows how he can evolve and kind of morph into something different. And that gives me so much more encouragement for him as Lando. Like, I've always loved the idea of it.
Yeah.
But watching him just change into something different.
Yeah, just embody something different, right?
Yeah. I think that is the true sign of a good actor. Is when you only see the character that he's portraying. You don't see Donald Glover as Lando. You Very see important. Lando Calrissian. And I think that's what I had issues with at the start with Woody Harrelson and all that. Like, I'm going to see Woody Harrelson. But really looking forward to this. And, you know, we only got, like I said, a year and a half. We're going to start getting a lot of information coming down the pipe in the next few weeks. At least, I think, leading into, maybe not the next few weeks. We get a lot of information over the next 6 months or so. And we'll see. We'll see, man.
Yeah, man.
Cannot wait.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, before we jump into some Marvel and DC news, I thought we'd throw down our comic book picks of the week. We haven't done this for a little while.
Nice.
What have you been reading lately?
There's been so much good stuff, actually, right now. But I'm doing Batman and the Flash crossover, Batman the Button. This is awesome, man. It's the art's by Jason Fabok, and it's written by Tom King, who's been doing Batman since the rebirth there. This is a cool book because this is bridging the gaps and the ties and the mysteries of basically the New 52 from the Flashpoint to New 52 from the beginning of Rebirth with this whole Watchmen stuff going on. This is really cool. The art's fantastic. You got some really cool dialogue back and forth between Batman and Reverse Flash. Without giving away any spoilers, this whole comic is basically done within a span of like 3 minutes maybe. Really? And they do some cool panels of Reverse Flash and Batman fighting, but each panel you're seeing the countdown go down from like 56, 54, 53, and it's glorious. It's awesome. This is like the Batman I've been like craving for quite some time now, even though the books have all been great. So you can pick up the whole thing, but I'm going with basically the first issue of this run, which is Batman the Button part one, and then go check out Flash part two. I think we're at about 4 issues right now in this series, so it's fantastic. I'm really loving the stuff they're pumping out here with DC, and I have a feeling where you're gonna go with maybe. Yes. But if it is, I've been feeling that book too.
Well, to not leave anyone hanging here, Secret Empire.
Yes,
my man. I know I've been banging on about this in the previous week's compo picks of the week, but this thing continues to be an absolutely incredible story. Stretching right from Captain America Steve Rogers all the way up to issue 16. I think issue 17 comes out this week.
Yeah.
And then including Secret Empire Zero, there was the free comic book day, which had a 10-page prelude to issue number one of Secret Empire. There is an incredible panel that I showed you right before we recorded with Captain America holding something real special. I'm not going to give it away, but man, is it awesome. And issue number one, issue number two just dropped. This is an incredible series. This is very different from where I thought this was all going to go when we first started talking about Hail Hydra, Cap Hydra. Like, this is something people are freaking out about. This has been one of the best Captain America stories in years. Like, straight up. I've been reading Captain America for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And I love this story. It is different. It is Cap and Hydra, but in a very new way. And the way that they depict the Marvel Universe is kind of falling apart right at the feet of Captain America, the way he set everything up, put everything into motion.
The master planner, the stuff he's been doing since Civil War II. Yes. Oh, man, it's crazy. What he did, without going into stuff, the way he separated himself from the rest of the heroes, like Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
That little panel there, when I read that, I was just blown away. Like, wow, this guy is like a kingpin on another level with these heroes.
The way everything was executed in the few panels of issue number zero.
Yeah.
Now, that was like the takeover issue. And that's kind of streaming out of issue number 16 of Captain America Steve Rogers.
Okay.
And just the way it's executed, the way it is put onto the panels too.
Yeah.
The writing from Nick Spencer is incredible. And you really are cheering for Cap still. Like, I thought at some point he's going to flip and he's going to be villainous. And I'm going to be cheering for Iron Man and Riri and all these characters. I'm on Captain America's side right now. Like, I don't like the fact that he's kind of a neo-Nazi type thing and all that, but it doesn't really fit. But he's kind of taken what Hydra was and evolved it into something different. Right. So you feel like he's doing the right thing.
Yes.
But the people behind him, he's got like Zemo and Artem Zola.
Right.
And they've taken actually a lot of cues from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They've pulled a lot of characters in, kind of the side characters from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from the MCU into this. Like the Kraken. That's the Kraken? Maybe it's the Kraken? The squid face guy from... I don't think it's the Kraken. I can't remember.
The spiky guy?
No, he's got like the long squid face. I cannot remember his name.
David Jones. No.
He kind of looks like David Jones.
Okay.
And there's a few other characters like Madame Hydra that they brought into this. And the Kraken is a character in there, but it's not the character I'm thinking of. Anyways, it's just great what they've done here. And if you're not reading this, I would highly suggest going and just, you can probably get the gist of it from issue number zero.
Okay.
The free comic book day and issue one and two.
Yeah.
Get into that. It's, yes, it is tying into everything from Spider-Man and all this.
Yeah.
But just reading this, the single kind of few issues from the main series, you can get the most of it. Like, you don't need to be reading everything else. Yes, if you want the backstory, go back and revisit Steve Rogers. But you don't need to be getting all the tie-ins. It's not crucial. As far as I'm reading right now, I'm not reading all the tie-ins yet.
Mm-hmm.
I have to pick up some of them.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it's just, yeah, get into it. That's all I got to say. That's my comic book picks of the week, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I can't wait. I mean, I'm going to follow because I've been getting the single issues. But for the people out there that are big into collecting the trades, you're in for a treat because I couldn't imagine just reading like a marathon of this book, these books.
Oh, I'd read well on a trade.
You know, it's crazy. So, yeah, you know, on both ends here, I never dipped into anything else apart from Marvel or DC, but on both ends here, they're fantastic comics that are being pumped out. So go out there and support those comics.
Yes, at your local comic book shops. Like Alpha Comics.
Yes.
Quick plug there. Yeah. Right, Chris. All right, let's jump into some Marvel news. We're going to be talking a bit about the TV universe as well as the MCU. We just came off the back end of our Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 review. So if you have not checked that out, just go back one episode in the feed you're listening to right now. Troy and I break that down over about an hour and a half and talk about everything from the Guardians themselves, Drax, hilarious lines, right through to all the end credit sequences. And just breaking that down a bit as in giving our opinions of what we thought of the movie and how it fit into the larger cinematic universe. Because we also are doing, month by month, our MCU retrospective series. We've done Incredible Hulk, Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Thor, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 fits into there just a bit out of sequence. And in July, we're going to be doing Captain America, The First Avenger. So we're really looking forward to that. And that's a series that if you haven't been listened to, we'd appreciate it if you jumped over onto the feed you're listening to right now. You can go onto our Podbean page and just search MCU Retrospective, and you'll get out the episodes that we've recorded. We're having a lot of fun with those, revisiting the Marvel Cinematic Universe, building into a weekend release review of Avengers Infinity War. And with Avengers Infinity War, we got the official synopsis release for this. I'm going to read this. So, there's no spoilers in here, but if you're trying to avoid some of this, maybe skip ahead 5 minutes. I'll timestamp each individual segment here so you can jump into whatever we talk about next if you're trying to avoid these synopsis. But Avengers Infinity War, I'm going to read this out now. Just again, spoiler warning. As the Avengers and their allies have continued to protect the world from threats too large for any one hero to handle, a new danger has emerged from the cosmic shadows, Thanos. His goal is to collect all 6 Infinity Stones, artifacts of unimaginable power, and use them to inflict his twisted will on all of reality. Everything the Avengers have fought for has led to this moment. The fate of the Earth and its existence itself has never been more uncertain. So, doesn't really give much away there. It tells you Thanos is coming, but also tells you that his goal is to collect the Infinity Stones. So it looks like Infinity War, in part, is going to be Thanos collecting those stones. He's not going to show up with the Infinity Gauntlet, take over the world, and then we're going to have to wait another year to see exactly what happens. What do you think of the synopsis that Marvel did give us a couple of days ago?
I like it. It sounds very comic book like. Yes. You know, speaking of trades, this looks like something that you'd read on the back of the trade, and you're like, okay, I'm going to pick this up. I really like it. Obviously, Thanos is going to have a big presence here. It's interesting to still know that, I guess, the Avengers are still out there defending Earth. Yeah. I guess, the defenders that are underneath Tony.
Yeah.
Right? So, that's pretty cool. I'm so excited for this movie. I've been excited since Avengers, you know, so they don't have to win me over.
No, not at all. Yeah. Neither of us here. And another movie that they did give us a brief synopsis for, another movie that I am highly anticipating, is Black Panther. And again, spoiler warning here, jump ahead 2 minutes if you don't want to listen to this. It doesn't really give much away, but it kind of gives you just a little insight as to what's going to happen in this film. All right, again, spoiler warning. After the events of Marvel's Captain America Civil War, King T'Challa returns home to the reclusive, technologically advanced African nation of Wakanda to serve his country as its new leader. However, T'Challa soon finds that he is challenged for the throne from factions within his own country. When two foes conspire to destroy Wakanda, the hero known as Black Panther must team up with CIA agent Everett K. Ross, who is Martin Freeman from
Civil War. Civil War, yeah.
And members of the Dora Milaje, Wakandan Special Forces, to prevent Wakanda from being dragged into a world war. Yes, pretty epic sound.
This is epic. This is actually a better synopsis than Infinity War.
Yes.
I'm excited for this, especially because we know he's going to be going up against my boy, Michael B. Jordan.
Yes, and Eric Killmonger.
Right? I can't wait for this, man. He was such a standout in Civil War. The fact that we're getting this movie, because it's been kind of quiet. We haven't really been hearing too much.
I think they're filming it right now.
They are filming it right now, and we got the new logo a little while back there, which is cool. Chadwick Boseman just, you know, he embodies this character so well, and he's really, you know, bringing a new audience to the Black Panther character. So yeah, I can't wait to see this movie. When does this one drop again?
I always get this wrong. February or November 2018.
Okay.
Not remember.
I can't wait to see some more images, though. Because I remember the first time they showed his costume, Civil War. I was like, whoa, because how are they going to pull this costume off? And what I really like about this costume is it feels like they're doing more liberties than what they've done with Batman, for instance, with the eyes. I've always been like, when are we going to get those, like, those just the white silhouette eyes? And they do it with this character, and it works so well. And his costume is on par with Iron Man's, but it's more sleek, you know, it's more mobile. So, yeah, I'm pumped, man.
Can't wait to see this. There are rumors that D23, we could see a teaser trailer for this.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, so like even more anticipation for D23.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Who do you think the two foes are that are stated in here that conspired to destroy Wakanda? We know one is Michael B. Jordan, Eric Killmonger. And going back to the comics, this is a, I believe, a character that is a classic foe of Black Panther.
Yeah, White Gorilla is it? Or
There was also that one. Yeah. I was thinking more of Claw. Andy Serkis.
Yeah, Andy Serkis. Yeah, he's for sure.
Yeah,
because he's a big foe.
Yeah, because there's a comic book storyline where Claw and Eric Killmonger conspire together to steal the throne from T'Challa. That's what I thought they were getting at, but I forgot that this White Gorilla or whatever it is is going to be in it as well.
Yeah, I would assume Claw would be there because Claw's a pretty big... He's almost on par as like the Norman Osborn to T'Challa because there's that cool run back when John Romita Jr. did the art for that series. I can't remember if it's 2009. There's even a motion comic out there. Captain America makes a little cool appearance in that one too. Yeah, if I had to put my money on it, I'd say Claw is definitely going to be one of the villains popping up because they've already popped him up in Age of Ultron.
Yep.
Yeah,
he got his arm chopped off.
He got his arm chopped off by Ultron. Yeah, so for sure. And Andy Serkis is great, so I'm sure he's going to pop up.
Yeah, and they tied him into that lore too with the brand he had on the back of his neck and stealing the vibranium and all that.
Right.
So they kind of seeded that he had the history with Wakanda as well.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool that they kind of already tie that in together. And I think he has been confirmed for the movie. Whether or not he's one of the two that conspire, I don't know. It would make sense to me that that's the way they're going to go with this.
Yeah.
So, man, wait and see. Cannot wait for a trailer for this.
Yeah, just to see Wakanda, too. We got that little glimpse of it at the end of Civil War there. I can't wait to see that throughout the film. Yeah.
So good.
Definitely.
All right, man, let's continue with the Marvel Universe here. Let's kind of step into the TV side of it. I almost said Marvel Cinematic Universe, but as these come out, I'm getting less and less convinced that the TV universe is going to hold itself to the standards it set with Daredevil. I feel like we've been kind of bitching about stuff a lot this episode. The Defenders trailer was released about 2 weeks ago. This is something I really, really want to like. I've loved the idea of this from the beginning with teaming up Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Daredevil. The Daredevil series are absolutely incredible. Some of the best ever put to TV, to screen, or whatever.
For sure. Some of the best superhero TV we've had.
Yes. Yep. Yes. I even thoroughly enjoyed Jessica Jones. But Luke Cage has kind of got me off the rails a bit with these Netflix series.
Yeah.
They were really strong up until about 8 episodes in to Luke Cage. When they killed off Cottonmouth,
that's spoilers. When this...
Yeah, sorry. Spoilers.
It's been up for a while.
Sorry. But when they killed Cottonmouth, I feel like that's when I went off the rails. I had a really hard time finishing the series, and I've yet to get into Iron Fist beyond the first episode. And I feel like you need to see all of these to really get what's going on in Defenders, because it seems to pick up on a lot of threads from Luke Cage, from Iron Fist, as well as Daredevil Season 2.
Yeah.
When we look at this trailer, like, there's quite a bit to it. We see a lot of Jessica Jones, a lot of Matt Murdock, and their interaction with each other. We knew it was going to be more of an antagonistic kind of butting heads type relationships between the two of them. We have some cool scenes with Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
Yep.
That's really cool because they're getting the Heroes for Hire kind of teased there a bit. Like I said, they're picking up a lot, at least storyline threads from Daredevil Season 2. We see Elektra.
Yep.
We see The Hand. We see Stick. And we see what appears to be some sort of like mysticism, I think. At least the angle they're going to take for the main villains here.
Right.
Something that they have to team up the four defenders for that is actually a large enough foe that not just one of them can handle, right?
Right.
Overall thoughts on this trailer?
You know, as the trailer as a whole, it wasn't bad. But, you know, I'm just kind of checking out of this universe a bit. It's tough because Daredevil set the bar so high from season 1 to season 2. And then we got Jessica Jones, which I was interested in for the first 2 episodes. And then I kind of fell off that one. And then they got me back with Luke Cage with the first 6 or 7 episodes. And then they took out Mahershala Ali. And that's when it really dropped for me. Like you mentioned there, I tried getting into Iron Fist and it just wasn't doing it for me. And see, the Netflix kind of dug themselves in a hole, because to watch the Daredevil or to watch Defenders, you really got to be engaged. You really got to know what's going on with all four of these different shows. Yeah. I think a lot of people have checked out. I don't think we're the only ones here. I think a lot of people have kind of checked out of that universe. So I'm hoping Defenders, and with the presence of Matt Murdock back again, it'll get people back and excited for this show. So the trailer was okay, though. The trailer wasn't too bad.
It didn't do the same thing that the other trailers have done for me.
Yeah.
It got me really into it. Like, it felt like something we had seen before.
Yeah.
That was my problem with them. They didn't show me something new. When you go back to Daredevil season 2, Luke Cage, it kind of had this cool urban vibe to it. Jessica Jones was a bit different. Even the first trailer or so for Iron Fist was kind of cool. It showed us something a little bit different. And this trailer was just like, they didn't really cut much together.
Yeah.
They didn't really give any anticipation level for this show. And that's kind of what bothered me about the trailer. I'm sure the series is going to be awesome. I'm definitely going to check it out. Like, I think watching all of them interact here and fight together is going to be great.
Yeah.
We even got that cool hallway, again, another hallway corridor scene. But it looked really cool with the four of them, where they kind of each took turns hitting something and then Iron Fist comes off with a big punch at the end.
That's cool.
That looked really cool. So hopefully once you get into this, that the pace picks up quite rapidly. I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time with the four of them fighting with each other and kind of arguing and talking a lot of things out. I just need some action here. We've got the development of these characters. We spent 13 hours a piece, Daredevil 20 plus hours, right?
Yeah.
And so we know who these characters are. We don't need to spend time kind of relearning and going through backstories and origin stories and trying to figure out, you know, where these guys connect. Let's just have them connect, have Stick or whomever brings them together, and just thrust them into battle. I think that's what we need. Yes, we need kind of that comedic play off each other where they're arguing and fighting and who leads the team and who does this and what, and then there's going to be the obvious, we are the Defenders title drop and all that. That's fine. That's all cliche stuff that we need that makes you kind of attach yourself to these characters. But please, no big backstories. We don't need that.
We don't need it, yeah. Because like you mentioned, we had 13 episodes apiece with these characters. So, yeah.
Who do you think Sigourney Weaver is playing? Do you have a guess? I know we've talked about this a bit before. We get a bit of a glimpse of her hair.
I'm not too sure. I think, did they say, I could be confused. I thought they said she's just an original character.
Yeah. But we've heard that before.
Yeah, that's true, too. We have. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know. Do you have any idea?
Just looking at the angle of the playing, you know, towards the end of Daredevil season 2, we got kind of this weird mysticism thing going on, these weird zombie characters, Elektra being brought back to life.
Yeah.
She's going to be at least one of the main antagonists, I think, of possessed Elektra. But could Sigourney Weaver be playing Mephisto, maybe?
Oh.
Kind of this, like, immortalized demonic entity type character. That'd
be cool.
I don't know. That's something big has to happen with that character. I just don't want her to be like this corporate slug that's kind of directing the hand or is in charge of the hand or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just doing this, you know, for financial gain or whatever. There has to be something bigger to this character.
Interesting. I like that. It's funny because I just came off of Spider-Man One More Day. Mephisto appears in that. Don't check that comic out. Yeah. But anyways, I don't know. I don't know who she could be. Maybe even Madame Web, but she's not enough of a villain.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little too Spider-Man-like.
I don't know. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. So this comes out, I believe, in September.
Okay.
So we got a lot going on in September. I think it's September, maybe October. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But there is a lot more going on in September because that's when we get the Inhumans dropping.
There we go.
We got a teaser. At least I got a teaser before the IMAX Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 showing.
Oh, no way. I didn't get that.
It was no images. It was just, I think it was Maximus talking over kind of the Inhumans logo with some big sound and all that.
Cool.
And being that it is IMAX, it's going to be released in IMAX on September 1st.
Makes sense,
It's going to have a 2-week run, 2 episodes back to back. But this image that we got here, there's been quite a bit of complaints from fandom about the costumes here. So we got lined up new characters. We got Black Bolt, Medusa, Crystal, Maximus, Gorgon, and Karnak. So these are all the royals of the Inhumans universe. This is where the books focus in around. And it looks like we're going to be spending quite a bit of time in Hawaii or what could be Adelan or New Adelan or something like that. And there was a leaked image or video of Lockjaw and Black Bolt transporting.
Yeah.
Which looked fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the cool thing is that they put Lockjaw on this and he looks like Lockjaw from the comic book.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think about these costumes and these character likenesses?
Well, like I mentioned to you before, when I looked at it, you know, I couldn't help but think of Bryan Singer's X-Men.
Yeah.
The first bit there, especially, you know, with Black Bolt's costume looking very Hugh Jackman, you know.
X-1.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Medusa's hair, though.
What is going on with that, man?
Say what you want about Invisible Woman's hair in Fantastic Four. This is on a whole other level with this photoshopped weird, like, because clearly they cut her hair. And yeah. I guess, you know, budget-wise, it'd be so hard, so expensive to maintain her crazy hair. So
they have to do it for IMAX, though.
They have to do it. So I'm sure we're going to get some kind of flashback of when she had her locks, and then they're going to cut it for whatever reason, because... Yeah, the budget-wise with that hair would just be too much. But yeah, it looks okay. I mean, it looks a lot more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.-like as opposed to the Netflix stuff.
It does.
You know? But, you know, just with Inhumans, it's something else I've never really explored. So I'm hoping this will kind of, you know, make me more curious about this world of Inhumans and maybe even pick up an issue.
Yeah, because they've had a big push in the comic books.
Big time.
Over the last couple of years. Even since about 2012 or so.
Yeah.
And, you know, this has gone through kind of this... a tumultuous development where it was going to be a movie in phase 3 and then it was announced with a release date with 2020 tagged onto it, and then it was taken off the slate quietly, and then it was announced it was coming to IMAX and ABC as a TV show. So it's shifted kind of not so much studios but departments from Marvel Film into Marvel TV, and the TV isn't really necessarily connected. It is, but it's not, because it's never all referenced. It's only referenced one way.
Yeah, like from the TV. The TV
references the film. Like we see this in Netflix, but not the other way around. I wish they'd do some more of that. And the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has had a really long-going Inhumans arc and storyline within the TV show since season 3, I believe. And I don't know if they're going to be connecting these all up, because this movie, or this kind of IMAX thing into an ABC series, it's going to be focusing in on the royal family. And that's not something that we're getting in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's focused kind of in and around smaller Inhuman characters. But they did have the Terrigen Bomb go off in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where people were then kind of going into the cocoon form and kind of doing the transformation into Inhumans. We've had the Kree show up. So this acknowledgement of that the Kree were the ones experimenting and created the Inhumans. So it's like right out of the comic books. So it's going to be interesting if they're going to retread some of that origin that was brought to us through Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and kind of retell it. Or if they're going to leverage what's been told. I don't know when this is exactly set. So hopefully, because it's TV, that they're going to be interconnecting these.
Yeah.
And kind of making what happened in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. not completely irrelevant, because we're talking about the royal family of Inhumans here. We're not getting a kind of a retelling or a kind of remodeling of the Inhumans origin story just because they want to set themselves apart from what's been done before.
Right.
So, you know, we're starting to see a few of the cracks in the Marvel Foundation, and a lot of it is the TV.
Yeah.
The films are going strong. The TV seems to be kind of this interdepartmental fighting over things, over, you know, grabbing characters and doing this, doing that, and not having the exact budgets. I'm hoping, because this is sponsored by or funded by IMAX to a degree, that we're going to get the graphics and it's going to be kind of more of a cinematic experience. Because rolling off the back end of the IMAX, we have an 8-episode run. And that's going to be debuting either on September 22nd or 29th. It's going to be on Friday nights in a 9 o'clock slot. So hopefully with the 9 o'clock slot too, it can be a bit more mature. We can do a bit more with the characters, a bit more with the storyline, to keep more of the adult audience engaged a bit more, that 18 to 35 audience.
Right. But see, that's the thing that worries me is a slot. It's Friday's kind of the graveyard shift.
It is.
And especially, like you mentioned, reaching out to the adults, but the adults are...
Out.
Exactly. So that's tricky, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was that Tuesday or Wednesday?
Yeah, so the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they've shifted to Friday as well now. They just renewed it for the 5th season, but it's also shifting to, it's going to pick up when Inhumans is done. It's going to pick up after that, in that same time shifts. Slot.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, this could either be like genius move by Marvel teamed up with IMAX, or it could be like the worst thing they've ever done. Yeah, because
it has to look good.
It has to look good. It's going to be a big budget. It's showing up on Fridays, which is the graveyard shift. Thursdays is kind of the money spot. I don't know. I think this is kind of... I'm curious to see. I can't wait to see this, because like I said, I do want to learn more about these characters on the television. So just have to wait and see. I don't know. I don't know about this one. This is tricky.
Yeah, I think you're right. Wait and see.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited that we're getting this,
because
otherwise I don't know if we ever already gotten the story of Black Bolt. And I really like Black Bolt.
Oh, yeah. Coming and leading into Secret Wars.
Yes.
I've been a pretty big fan of his. Yeah.
He is really good. And the whole idea with...
The Illuminati.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I want something like that in the MCU. We have Black Bolt here. We've got Black Panther, Iron Man,
Doctor Strange.
There's a lot of characters now that they could make the Illuminati with.
Right.
And I love to see Black Bolt kind of transition into the film. So could this be a way that they can kind of bridge that gap between the film universe, because they're kind of doing the IMAX and film and they're going to TV. So maybe this could be in a bridge and hopefully produce some content that is really good.
Right.
It looks like they're going to be doing kind of the classic story of Maximus trying to take the throne from Black Bolt. And it's that kind of Thor-Loki relationship, I think, we're going to see a lot of in
this. And he's a great actor they have from Game of Thrones. Yes. That guy, he's dangerous.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you said, wait and see. This comes out in September, so I'm going to have my IMAX ticket. I'm definitely going to be checking this out.
Oh, yeah.
First week, weekend of release when this comes out. So, looking forward to that.
For sure.
One last thing, sticking with Marvel here, before we briefly jump over to some DC news. We got some news from the Venom movie. Yeah. This movie that isn't part of the MCU and is somehow not going to contain Spider-Man, I don't believe.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy has signed on to play Eddie Brock Venom.
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
This is crazy because, you know, when they announced this Venom movie and the Silver Sable and the Aunt May spinoffs, all that whatever stuff going on, you know, I had zero interest. And they dropped Tom Holland's name in here and I'm totally in. I'm like, holy smokes. The only thing is, I'm like, why not have this guy in the MCU? You have the caliber, the talent of Tom Hardy playing Eddie Brock, which is genius. I would have never even pictured that. But now I'm like, yeah, I see that. But it's not connected to the MCU. And it's a horror movie. I think they're going more rated R tone. Yeah. I know they said before there's no ties to Spider-Man. But at this point, I feel like Venom and Spider-Man just go hand in hand. Just bridge it off of Amazing Spider-Man 2. I know Amazing Spider-Man 2 was horrible. But at least the foundation's already been built. They've already kind of put in little seeds of Venom in there. That universe was already dark anyways. Going off of Spider-Man 1. Why not just go from there? You don't really have to do anything else with the last two movies, but just expand from there. Because if they even throw in Spider-Man again, then that's another Spider-Man that's being reintroduced again. We're getting a Miles Morales Spider-Man. We're getting Homecoming coming up here. We're getting a brand new Spider-Man cartoon coming up. That's a lot of Spider-Man going on. Yeah. I'd rather just see them kind of do something clever and kind of just go off the back end of Amazing Spider-Man, the series there.
Yeah.
But Tom Hardy, yeah. That's incredible casting.
It is really good casting, and his age kind of threw me off, because this doesn't fit at all into the Spider-Man universe, especially the one that they've crafted with Peter Parker, with Tom Holland, right? And so I really don't know what they're doing here. I think there's one really cool fan theory out there when that movie Life came out with Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, I heard about that one.
That it was like some weird like backdoor secret prequel movie to Venom,
right?
And that coming out of it was going to be Venom. Like that would have been really cool. If they go with something like that, I think I could really get on board
with
how did the symbiote come to the Earth? It was on
the Secret Wars.
Yeah.
And then it's on the back end of Spidey, and then Spidey and Reed Richards. Yeah. You know, they worked together to get rid of it. And Eddie Brock was I can't remember if he's
who's
photographer.
The astronaut that
Oh, that's from the cartoon. Oh, that's J. Jonah Jameson's son in the cartoon, which was an awesome way. They could go that route for sure. So, I don't know. I think it's just a lot of explaining to do without tying it into Spider-Man.
Yeah. Obviously, Carnage is going to be the villain.
Carnage has to be, you know. But then he's going to be like, you take Spider-Man out of there. So, Venom's web-swinging like Spider-Man. He's going to have the big spider like Spider-Man. It's just, it's so weird.
It is weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they're probably going to play him maybe like a Deadpool type character, like a real anti-hero.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they have
and
to.
And go like that, like you said, that hard R and just kind of go for it. Do something very different. Kind of just suck up a bit of that niche that Deadpool's carved out
for
himself,
sure, with that rated R. I still feel, and you and I talked about this before, I really feel like this was Marvel and Sony kind of bumping heads, and Sony's like, we want to do Venom. And Marvel's like, no, we could do Venom later.
Yeah.
And Sony's like, no, we're going to do it right now. And they're like, hey, let me take that over there.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of feel like was going on here. They're just jumping the gun. Yeah, so
who
we'll
knows,
see.
Man.
The interesting thing, though, with Tom Hardy, though, he picks pretty good roles. So that's something else that kind of has my faith going there. You know, he Suicide Squad, he's meant to be in, and he backed out for good reasons. You know, he didn't have the best Bane, but for the most part, he picks pretty solid roles.
Yeah, and he's always kind of been backed by Christopher Nolan as well. He shows up in a lot of Christopher Nolan
films. Dunkirk coming up here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't even know if there's a script for this, which worries me a bit that he's kind of signed blindly on with this. And
right.
Like, we could see him back out of this when he sees a script and he's like, oh my God, what the hell's happening here? So, but yeah, it does bring a lot more intrigue to this movie. Before, you and I were both like, yeah, we're done with
done.
This.
Done. Oh, yeah.
But now, yeah, maybe.
I'll look at it.
Yeah definitely.
Yeah, for
definitely.
Sure.
And I guess they got a director as well, Ruben Fleischer from Zombieland.
Right.
Yeah, so they're kind of putting all the pieces together. It's supposed to drop October 5th of 2018.
Wow.
So a year and a half or so.
Yeah.
So that's pretty close. That's like, they got to start production here pretty soon.
Yeah. Wow. Big budget for that one.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, let's skip over to some DC news before we close out the episode here. Let's first talk about Wonder Woman here. We're getting the first reactions coming out of this, and this is Sanjay's one of his most anticipated films for the year. And you know, we're used to here kind of beating up DC a bit, and I don't think it's completely undeserving.
No.
But at the same time, they're trying. I can give them credit for that. They're setting a foundation here. And coming out of the Wonder Woman reviews here are very positive remarks from fans and critics alike. And that is a very encouraging sign, because if we look back at Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad, the first reviews were garbage.
Yeah.
And the movie didn't turn out much better than that.
Right. But WB liked it.
Yes.
I've never they were raving about it.
Of course it did. But it's extremely encouraging, because we've heard rumors in the past that this movie's a mess. It was as bad as Batman vs. Superman. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we're getting really positive reactions out of this, people are loving what they did with Gal Gadot. The period piece seems to be a strong point for the character.
Yeah.
And we're used to hearing a lot of the negativity coming out of the DC Cinematic Universe, and I'm guilty of that. But because this is coming out in a couple weeks, June 2nd, we're going to be reviewing this in a couple weeks.
Yep.
Hopefully we're going to be talking a little bit next week about Wonder Woman, some background, some predictions for the movie itself. But yeah, I'm really excited for this. You feeling the same? You getting that vibe too?
Oh yeah, yeah, I've been excited. I think I can't remember how high I had on my most anticipated, but it was pretty high up there, I believe. I really do like what they've done with her so far in this DCEU. I like Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. It's a different take, not my first choice for casting, but I do like what they've done. Chris Pine's in there works for me so far, what they've shown, and I really like the period piece, what they got going on there, and it's so separate from what we've had in the DC universe. Exactly. Patty Jenkins is at the helm of this, so looks pretty cool. I heard it's the best thing since The Dark Knight.
Really?
Actually, which is pretty bold, because I mean, I really did like Man of Steel, so if this is higher than that, then I'm all on board. So I can't wait to see this movie. I really can't. Yeah,
I'm stoked about this. I know Sanjay is immensely excited.
Oh yeah,
this, and we
for
can't
sure.
wait to review it with him.
Yeah,
I'm gonna stick here a bit with the DC Cinematic Universe. This is a topic that I struggle with a bit on how to approach it, and that's kind of why I've left it to the end of the episode here. And there was a report the other day that Zack Snyder's daughter had committed suicide. And this was back in March, and they kept it pretty quiet up until this point. But he's recently announced that he is stepping back from Justice League. So the movie is coming out in November. They're done principal photography, I believe. They're in the editing stage, the post-production. And with him stepping back, Joss Whedon, director of Avengers and Age of Ultron, is stepping in. Now, Joss Whedon is going to be doing Batgirl or Batwoman.
Yeah, Batgirl
in the future here. And the head of Warner Brothers, or one of the heads of Warner Brothers, has explicitly said that they're not changing the tone, they're not changing the script. Joss Whedon is adding a few scenes at the request of Zack Snyder to kind of tie up the end a bit more. And we've seen Joss Whedon do this with numerous movies, including quite a few of the Phase 2 Marvel movies. And it's great to see that they have someone that can handle the ensemble cast coming into this and kind of cut this movie together at the request of Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
And we here at the Nerd Room, we you know, kind of jump all over DC sometimes, and sometimes Zack Snyder and that. But in no way do we ever mean that to be a personal attack on him. And it is an extremely sad thing to hear about a 20-year-old woman taking her life. And we send, you know, our condolences out to Zack Snyder and his family, and we hope and wish them all the best. And for anyone out there that is struggling with things like depression and suicidal thoughts and these type things, just know that there's people out there. I know the world can be a tough place, and it's difficult to get through things sometimes, but there's all sorts of resources out there for people when it comes to this type of thing. So, you know, and it's even just as simple as talking to someone about it. There's always someone out there willing to listen to you talk. And you have friends here in the Nerd Room. If you love comic books and movies and all that, love talking about that stuff, just hit us up on Twitter and all that. And I just wanted to kind of put all that out there, because, you know, families do struggle with these type of things, and sometimes it's hidden away, and sometimes it's too late. And talking about things is the best way to do it. We sit here and talk for an hour every week, and we just want to kind of put that out there. There are people out there that are listening, and you're loved, and
you got a voice. Yeah, you got a voice out there, and use it. And you know, here we always encourage you guys to comment and talk and we reach out. We're so down to get on Twitter and go back and forth the conversations. And not even just us, just anybody out there. You know, we live in a world now where communication is so huge and so big, right?
Yeah, and it's easy to find people that love the same things you do.
Yes.
We're part of the Star Wars Commonwealth, which is a big group of awesome podcasters, of awesome listeners. Yeah. You know, we all have this one common thing that we love Star Wars.
Right.
And I talk to everyone there in the Talk Star Wars VIP, the Commonwealth guys, daily, like even more so than I talk to some of my friends now. because we have this relationship that we've built through Star Wars,
right.
And you know, we've become friends, and you know, it's a great thing. And mm-hmm. these are the type of communities that we encourage you guys to get involved in, whether it's a Commonwealth or Talk Stars or whatever. You know, there's a community there for everyone. You know, you like something, there's someone else out there that likes it too. And I think having that connection to someone can make a big difference. So that's all we're gonna really say about that. You know, having Joss Whedon on board, like I said, at the request of Zack Snyder, is a very admirable thing that he's doing, stepping in to take a really big movie and kind of, you know, run it across the finish line there.
Yeah.
And like we said, all the best to Zack Snyder and his family. All right, guys. Well, that is more or less it for this episode of The Nerd Room. We hope you enjoyed our news catch-up. I know we throw a lot out there when we do these heavy topic, heavy news type episodes, but we like getting through some of that news and addressing some of the things from Marvel, DC, and especially Star Wars. So if you guys would like to be a part of the conversation, you can always hit us up on Twitter. Our handles are at the end of the episode. You can comment on our Facebook or YouTube pages. Like Troy said earlier, we're always willing to discuss Star Wars, Marvel, DC, whatever. Tell us what you thought about the episode. Tell us what you think about the Infinity War synopsis or what's coming down for Star Wars. What are you collecting? What are you finding? I'd love to see some images of people's finds out there when they're on the hunt. If you're also looking for a little bit of collecting news and all that kind of thing, I do a bit of writing over at Talk Star Wars right now, talkstarwars.co.uk. So you can go check that out. The website itself is absolutely fantastic. I just contribute once in a while to some comic and collecting news type stories and blog and give some of my opinions in that. So go check that out. It's a lot of fun. It's something I like to do on the side. And those guys over there at Talk Star Wars are great. Their podcast is on point. The whole Commonwealth, Tumbling Saber, is doing great things right now. The Skyhopper podcast, Generation X-Wing, everyone's kind of hitting out of the park right now. And the Star Wars Commonwealth is kind of rolling into Last Jedi mode here.
Yeah.
And the speculation, is that a fever pitch? So make sure you go check out all the other podcasts from the Commonwealth. They're all producing absolutely fantastic stuff.
Absolutely, guys. And this show right now, it does drop on Thursday, which is the 40th anniversary of Star Wars. So please let us know what you guys are doing for that day. I'd love to see, you know, your VHSs, your figures, your comics, your books, your soundtracks, anything out there. I'd love to see it all. And hit us up on the chats.
Yes, definitely. All right, guys. Well, enjoy Star Wars 40th anniversary celebrations. And until next week for The Nerd Room, I'm Tim.
I'm Troy.
And thank you for entering The Nerd Room.
This has been a Nerd Room podcast production. You can find our hosts, Tim and Troy, on Twitter at TheNerdRM and Troy, TheBoy87. Don't forget to subscribe to The Nerd Room on iTunes, Facebook, and YouTube. Just search The Nerd Room Podcast. Be sure to head over to StarWarsCommonwealth.com to find other podcasts on the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network, including Talk Star Wars, Generation X-Wing, Tumbling Saber, Rogue Squadron Podcast, and the Skyhopper Podcast. Follow the Star Wars Commonwealth on Twitter at SW Commonwealth and take your first steps into a larger world.